Spend a moment to thank the Lord for the man of God that God has chosen to be your new pastor. We're anxious for God to reveal him to us. for the Lord not only to prepare his heart, but to prepare yours. Thank the Lord that he has prepared a strong man of God, mighty in the word, with a compassionate heart for pastoring. And now, while you're still in a spirit of prayer, let me ask you, if you've come today with a special burden on your heart, it might be something that you're going through, it might be something that you're dealing with, or it might be a burden on behalf of someone else, but nonetheless, you are burdened in your spirit and in your heart today. And you just lift a hand up to say, Jay, pray for me. And keep your hand up, please. Keep it up. Pray for me. I've got a special burden on my heart. All right? Up in the balcony, yes. Over here to my left, yes. In the center. Over to my right. And in the choir. Father, you not only know the hands that were raised, you know the hearts that are hurting today. And so I pray that your Spirit would minister to these hurts and to these hearts, minister to the weights that beset us today because of a burden. It might be because of something in our own heart, or it might be from an intercessory standpoint because of someone that we care about, someone that we love. Father, you know every heart. You know why that person was impressed to lift a hand before you. And now, Father, we lift our hearts before you, and I pray that you would move into the midst of everyone who indicated a special need today. Father, it might be some marital situation. It might be a family situation. It might have to do with someone's son or someone's daughter. It might have to do with some job situation. Father, it might be a financial burden. It might be some type of physical distress or somewhat some type of emotional stress. Father, it might be a decision that looms out in front of somebody. Father, it might be a lost soul that we are burdened about. Father, it might be a circumstance of sin or of a stronghold. Father, it might be some deep heart cry that they've never shared with anyone. But you know the cry of our heart. You know what is burdening us today, Father. And so I pray that you would be a burden bearer today. You are that. I pray that you would lift that burden today. I pray that that person's faith might rise up. And I pray that the enemies of God might be scattered. And I pray that the power of God would be demonstrated and manifested in that person's heart and life, or in the heart and life of the person that we're burdened about today. So, Lord, I pray that you would show yourself strong and powerful on our behalf. And I pray that you would break that yoke, break that bondage, break that burden, remove that burden. And I pray, Father, that you would show yourself strong and powerful so that you could get the greater glory for what you're going to do.
I praise you, Father, for loving us and caring about us. I thank you that there is not a problem, not a weight, not a burden that is greater than you. You are greater than it all. Nothing is too hard for you. And so I pray, Father, for the power of God to be demonstrated and manifested in an obvious way today, not just in the hearts of these individuals who have lifted their hearts and hands before you, but here in our worship service, I pray that the presence and the power and the Spirit of God would be preeminent today. Manifest yourself, speak to our hearts, meet our needs, and we give you praise and honor and glory today. Because God is able. And we pray this in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen.
Sometimes when we have a burden, we need somebody to lean on. Let's sing together, Leaning on the Everlasting Arms. That's a pretty good thing to lean on, isn't it? The everlasting arms of God. Let's sing together this morning.
What a fellowship.
Thank you.
I'm so glad that his promises are true. Because of that, we can continue to trust him. 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus. Let's stand together and sing, if you would. 'Tis so sweet. It's 502 if you'd like to use a hymnal.
'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take him at his word, just to rest upon his promise, just to know the same love.
Father, remember your promise that says that you love a cheerful giver. And we just pray this morning that you would just cause each of us to remember all the many blessings you've given to us and to be cheerful as we give back to you in worship. And we thank you, Lord, for that and ask that you take what is given and multiply it and use it for your glory. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
When I get to a certain part of the song, and you'll know it, feel free to sing, okay? But if you're going to sing, you got to sing loud, okay? So you'll understand that when we get there. A little more volume. Can we? One day you'll make everything new, Jesus. One day you will bind every wound. The former things shall all pass away. No more tears. One day you'll make sense of it all, Jesus. One day every question resolved, and every anxious thought left behind, no more fears. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory. One day we will see face to face. Jesus, is there a greater vision of grace? And in a moment we shall be changed.
that day. And one day we'll be free, free indeed. Jesus, one day all this struggle will cease. We will see your glory revealed on that day. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout. Yes, when we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory.
One day, we're going to be singing loud in heaven to God the Father, the Holy Spirit, and to the Lamb, Jesus Christ. Yes, one day we will see face to face. Jesus, is there a greater vision of grace? And in a moment we shall be changed. In a moment we shall be changed. Yes, in a moment we shall be changed. On that day, when we all see Jesus, what a day of rejoicing that would be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory. Oh, we'll sing and shout the victory.
We will sing. No more shame.
Yeah.
No more struggles. No more walking in the valley of the shadow. No cancer. No depression. No unanswered questions. No more searching. We will see His glory. We will see the glory of His face. We will see your glory one day. One day. Lift your eyes. One day.
Steve, thank you, sir. Let's pray together. Father, what a glorious day that's going to be. We believe it's coming soon when we will see you face to face. And now we ask you today to reveal yourself to us, and I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Steve, thank you very much for that. Appreciate our worship time this morning. Turn in your Bibles, please, to the book of Romans. Book of Romans, chapter 4. Well, this is part two. This is the rest of the story. And so take your listening sheets. And we started this sermon last week. And so let me catch you up to date, just as a refresher. And we talked about the fact that there's only one commodity that is compatible. Only one thing that is compatible. One thing that fits. That fits grace. And that is what? It was just last week. Come on. Faith. Faith. God help me here. Sometimes this can be a tough crowd. Hancock, I don't mind telling you. Only one thing that fits. Only one thing that makes it work. Only one thing that's compatible. And that is faith. Faith. That's the commodity that fits with God's grace. And we are so grateful for, but we are so much in need of God's grace. And this section of Scripture probably demonstrates as much as any the person, the character that illustrates faith in Scripture. Now, and there are lots and lots and lots of stories about faith in Scripture, but I'm not sure that any rise above that of Abraham. And so that's what this section is about. And last week we looked at Abraham and the concept of faith as it, number one, had to do with the promise of God, and that was found in verse 20. He staggered not at the promise of God. And last week I gave you the background perspective of that from Genesis chapters 15, 16, 17, and 18, when God came to, at that time, Abram, whose name was later changed to Abraham. Abram and Sarai, whose name was changed to Sarah. And so God came to them and told them that they would be having a child, and through that child that all the nations of the earth would be blessed, through that one child. And you remember that at the time of them giving birth, Abraham was how old? 99 years old. And Sarah was 89, and her reproductive cycle no longer existed. But because of the promise of God, we see here in this passage, it says there in verse 20, that he staggered not at the promise of God. And so how did he react to this promise? And I gave you two things last week regarding that. He reacted with stable faith. He staggered not. He reacted with stable faith. And he reacted with strong faith. So he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong, it says there in verse 20, in faith. And so he had stable faith and he had strong faith. Now, the second thing I showed you last week was the persuasion of God, and that's found in verse 21, and being fully persuaded, being fully persuaded. So he rebuked doubt. Have you ever had to do that in your life? Have you ever had to rebuke doubt? Somebody might be here today just so doubtful with some circumstance, some situation. Am I going to get through this? Is my family going to get through this? Are our finances going to get through this? Is our marriage going to get through this? What's the future hold? And you might be engulfed in doubt. And you may have to rebuke doubt today. You may have to ask God for your faith to rise up. And you may have to rebuke doubt. And that's what Abraham did. He rejected doubt. He was fully persuaded. How much persuaded? Says he was fully persuaded. And so that has to do with the persuasion of God. And you may need to exercise that and to exercise your full persuasion of faith. And look again at verse 17, because he called those things that were not as though they were. How could he do that? Well, he had the promise of God. Had the promise of God. So we looked at the promise of God, the persuasion of God, and then number three, the performance of God, and that's also found in verse 21, being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able to do what? To perform. What he had promised, he was able to perform. You think God's up to that? He sure is. If God promises something, and matter of fact, we talked about that. I gave you several verses having to do that. Let God be true and every man a liar. It doesn't really matter what someone else says. It doesn't matter what someone else thinks. It doesn't matter what the entire room is voting for. It doesn't matter what the situation might be. It doesn't matter what the circumstances might be. If God says it, I'm going to go with God. And if God promises it, God's going to perform it. God's going to perform it. And then I pointed out to you from Genesis chapter 18 what God had said to Sarah, and that is anything too hard for the Lord? And so again, as you're thinking about your circumstances today, you may have to ask yourself, well, I guess maybe I'm the first time in history that something has come up that's bigger than God. Go like this. Huh. No, that's not so, is it? Is anything too hard for the Lord? So what is the key? What's the key to unlocking the door to God's grace? What's the key for redemption? What's the key for salvation? What is the key for living the Christian life? What is the key to victory? What is the key for daily living the way God wants you to? What is the key that is compatible, that unlocks that door to God's grace, God's provision, God's power? What is the key that opens the door for God to be real? What is the key to let God be true and everybody else a liar? What's the key? Faith. Faith. That's it. All right. Here's number four. That is the payment of God. All right, we've looked at the promise of God, the persuasion of God, the performance of God, and Abraham is the one that's illustrating faith to us. But evidently, there's a payment involved with this. Now, interestingly, the payment is coming to us. It's not what we owe to God, and I assure you we owe everything to God. But that's not what we're looking at here at this point. The payment, you'll see this, is coming from God to us. Wow. And look what it says there in verse 22. And therefore, I think I've told you before, but any time you see the word therefore, you need to find out what it's there for. And it always refers back to that which is right before that. And so you see, because of the promise of God and because of the persuasion of God, Abraham was fully persuaded that what God had promised, and because of the performance of God, therefore. Now, look at verse 22. It says, and therefore it was imputed. What's that word? What in the world is that? It means to credit to an account. To credit to an account. So, because of God's dealing with Abraham, and because of God's promise to Abraham, and because of Abraham's faith. Abraham's what? That's what this whole series is about, my friend. For the next several weeks, we're going to be talking about faith. And so because of Abraham's faith, therefore, it was imputed to credit to an account. So what is it that God paid out to Abraham as a result of his faith? What did he put on his account? What did he credit to his account? What did he apply to him? Well, listen, because of this man's faith, because of Abraham's faith, he received the righteousness of God. Look at that, verse 22. And therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. It was imputed to him for righteousness. Now, was Abraham a righteous man? Yes, he was. He actually was. Are you a righteous individual? You are. You are. Now, don't look up and down the pew. You may say, Jay, you don't know about this that guy. No. Are we all as righteous as God? Remember what we did a while ago? Go like this. No. No. Do we have enough righteousness for us to be accepted to God, for us to get into heaven? Well, go like this. No. No. Not in and of ourselves. Stay with me here. Not in and of ourselves. Nobody. Matter of fact, the Bible says that. There's none righteous. No, not one. And so no matter how righteous you are or how righteous you think you are, matter of fact, God's Word says that our righteousness is like what to God? Like filthy rags. Our righteousness is like filthy rags to God. And so what is it that God is making a payment to Abraham? What is it that God is giving to Abraham? What is it that God is assigning to Abraham? What is it that God is crediting to Abraham? Well, it says it very clearly that he is applying his righteousness. Say righteousness with me. Righteousness. He's applying that. God, listen, God is waiting on you to respond to him in faith in order to receive what it is that God has promised to you. Did you hear all that? I've got it right here on the screen for you. God is waiting. Matter of fact, read that with me, only let's personalize it, okay? God is waiting on me to respond to him in faith in order to receive what it is that God has promised me. Now look at that. Now think about that. God's waiting on you. Has God made any promises to you? Oh, yeah. Yeah. Read the promise book here. Has God made any promises to us? Oh, my. A phenomenal amount of promises. But do you see that? God is waiting on me. He's waiting on you. For God to credit your account. For God to respond. In order for us to receive what it is that God has promised us. So, before I go to the next point, let me ask you. What area of your life are you operating at a deficit? What area of your life are you operating at a deficit? Is it in the area of salvation? There might be someone here that it is. That might be it. You haven't received the salvation of God. You haven't received the forgiveness of God. You haven't received this new life that is available to you. God's promised it to you. God's provided it for you through Jesus Christ. But you're still lacking in that because you've never responded with the key. And what is the key? Faith. You've never responded with the key of faith. And that's what's compatible with God's grace. What area of your life are you operating at a deficit spiritually? And you need for God to input some money, some grace, some spiritual finances into your account. What area are you operating at a deficit that you need God to extend His credit to you? All right, let me show you number five. Let's go on to number five. And that is the provision of God. Now, we're going to see that in verse 25. But before we get to verse 25, let's go ahead and pick it up with verses 23 and 24. And I get pretty excited about these particular verses because note what it says there in verses 23 and 24. Now, it was not written for His sake alone. Now, who's he referring to there? Abraham. It was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him. Look at verse 24. But for us also. But for us also. Let's personalize that. But for me also. Okay, so let me understand this. God's word says, think you can trust it, God's word says that this was not written for His sake alone. His meaning who? Abraham. I mean, that's what we're reading about. That's who we're reading about. And then all of a sudden, it pulls me into the picture. And you. It pulls us into the picture. This was not written for His sake alone, but for us also.
Anybody want to clap or anybody want to say hallelujah or anybody want to want to get up and dance or anything? Huh? Anybody want to get excited about this? Are you reading that with me? This was not written for his sake alone, meaning for Abraham. It's something in the far, far past history. But for us also, that it was imputed for righteousness. Wow. Are you righteous? Well, even if you are, it's like filthy rags in God's sight. But have you checked your spiritual bank account lately? You know what's there? A whole bunch of... Yeah, you say it. Righteousness, yeah. A whole bunch of righteousness in your bank account. What do you do for that? What do you do for that? You had faith. You had faith. That's the only thing that's compatible to God's grace, my friend. And so you were the recipient because of God's promises. And you're fully persuaded that what He's promised, He's able to perform. And the performance of God. And so God has made a payment into your spiritual account. And that is a payment of righteousness. Now, it was not written for His sake alone that it was imputed to Him, but for us also to whom it shall be imputed. Look at this. What triggers that? And I've already told you about the fact, I mean, you caught the fact that it's triggered by faith. So what is it that triggers for the provision of God for righteousness? It says it there very clearly in verse 24. King James says, if we believe. If we believe. Say those three words with me. If we believe. Say them again. If we believe. Again. If we believe. Look at somebody next to you and say, if you believe. If we believe. If we believe. That's what triggers it. Well, if we believe what? Now look at this. If we believe, verse 24, if we believe on Him, if we believe on Him. Now follow this. I love this what we're looking at here. If we believe on Him, who did what? Raised Jesus from the dead. Raised Jesus from the dead. And then he goes ahead to explain in verse 25, because Jesus was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. All right, so let me give you these two things. If we believe what? Well, the redemption of Christ and the resurrection of Christ. Write those two things down. If we believe what? The redemption of Christ and the resurrection of Christ. So if we believe, the redemption of Christ, because verse 25 explains that, it breaks it out for us, because he was delivered for our offenses. He was delivered for our offenses. Have you ever offended God? Sure you have. Everybody here has. Everybody here has extended their offense toward God. It just takes one sin to offend God, to offend God's holiness, to offend God's righteousness. And everybody here is a sinner. But Jesus Christ died. He was delivered for our offenses. So if we believe, having to do with our redemption, have you believed on Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? Have you ever done that? Have you ever extended your faith? Have you ever said, God, I believe that Jesus died for me? Which he did, my friend. He died for every one of us. So if we believe, so that has to do with our redemption. Have you been redeemed? The salvation that you have through Jesus Christ is marvelous. It's glorious. It's amazing. We don't deserve it. That's grace, my friend. Well, how do you get that grace? I extended my faith. It's the only thing compatible with grace. Everybody following this? And so, for our redemption, if we believe for our redemption, but not just for our redemption, but for His resurrection. Do you see what it says there in verse 25? He was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our what? Justification. We're going to talk about that more when we get to the next point. And hang on, we will get to it. And so, He was raised again. He was what? Raised again. Oh, so He's not still dead? No. He died. But then 3 days later, He was raised again. So if we believe for our redemption and for His resurrection, that's where our faith needs to be extended. For our redemption, because Jesus Christ was delivered for our offenses. Your sins, every sin of your life, past, present, and future, every little sin, every big sin. Every sin. There's not a sin in your life that Jesus didn't die for. There's not a sin in your life that the blood of Jesus Christ cannot cover. Now, somebody needs to hear that statement I just said. I'm telling you, there's not one sin in your life. You may say, Jay, you have no idea what I've done. No, I don't, but God does. And Jesus Christ died for what you've done. And He extends His grace to you. He extends His forgiveness to you. He extends salvation to you. He extends redemption. And if we believe that we have that redemption, there's only one way to get that redemption, and that's through Jesus Christ. But not just believing in for redemption, but believing for His resurrection. Because He was delivered for our offenses. He was delivered to the cross for our offenses, but He was raised again 3 days later for our justification. And so Jesus Christ is not still dead. He's very much alive. And He is the first fruits of eternal life, my friend. Because if God's promised that you'll have everlasting life, how do we know He's able to do that? Well, He did a good job with Jesus, didn't He? And Jesus is alive today. And if Jesus is alive today, where is Jesus today? He's at the right hand of the Father. He's in heaven. He's in heaven. So if Jesus is alive today and God promises, can God fulfill His promises? Are you fully persuaded that what God has promised, He's able to perform? And so if Jesus is alive today, and God promises you to be alive in heaven, you reckon God can pull that off? Go ahead and applaud God. Come on, come on, come on. Let me give you the Let me give you number six, but let me show this to you also. Well, you know, before we leave that, look at the word justification. Do you see that? Justification means to render just or innocent, to render as righteous. And so that's what God's done. He has credited our account with that. Now, but before I give you number six, and this is classic timing on this. We have something going on in Washington, D.C. right now.
that speaks to this exactly. We could anticipate, we don't know exactly what's going to happen on Wednesday, but there's a trial right now in the Senate of the United States, the impeachment. Has the president been impeached? Yes, yes he has. Technically, the president, now follow this, because it's perfect timing for us to understand this. The president has been impeached, and so that's always going to be on his record. Now, what's going to happen Wednesday? It appears that the Senate is going to acquit him. That means to find him not guilty. To find him not guilty. All right, but here's what I want to point out to you. That justification is what God's given to us. Justification is what God's given to us. Okay, are we guilty of our sins? Yes. And so is God finding us not guilty? No, he's given us justification. And so this Wednesday, more than likely, the Senate is going to bring down a verdict against the President of the United States of acquittal. And so consequently, they're finding him not guilty of these offenses. But listen, God hasn't said to us, okay, you're not guilty. You're free to go. No, Jesus was delivered to the cross for our offenses, and he was raised again for our what? Justification. And I've explained this to you before. Matter of fact, I think I preached a sermon on justification not long ago. And it goes like this. It is just as if I'd never sinned. So it's not just a matter of God finding us not guilty. You can look on your record. You can look on your record and listen. There's nothing there. Come on. Get excited about that. It doesn't say not guilty. There's just nothing there. It's just as if I'd never sinned. That ought to send a Sunday morning Baptist into orbit. When you look at your record and you've been justified, what I do to have, what I do to receive that, I'll tell you what you did. You found the key. You found the key. You found the key to God's grace. You found the key to God's mercy. You found the key to God's forgiveness. You found the key to God's love. You found the key to God. And that is faith. Faith. Faith is the only thing that is compatible. All right, here's number next. What the peace of God. The peace of God. Verse 1 of chapter 5. Therefore, okay, what's the rule of thumb? When you see the word therefore, you find out what it's there for. And it always refers back to what's immediately precedes that. Therefore. Therefore, because if we believe, believe what? Well, the redemption of Christ and the resurrection of Christ. If we believe, because he was delivered for our offenses, he was raised again for our what? Justification. Therefore, being justified by what? Justified by what? Justified by what? Faith. We have peace. We have peace. We have peace. Say that with me. We have peace. Let me tell you, there's somebody here today, probably lots of somebodies that needs it. Needs peace. But you've got it. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace We have peace with God. The result of our justification is a relationship of our peace with God. We were enemies of God. Why? Because of our sin. We were at odds with God. We were separated from God. We were not friends with God. We had a sin debt, but God paid that debt in full. He wiped out our sin debt, and He replaced that debt with righteousness in our account. He credited us with being just and innocent and righteous. That's what He's done for us. And as a result of what's in our account, He has chosen us as His friends. Look how it works. It's like having a billfold, and spiritually, you ever been there before? Yeah, well, let me tell you, before you met Jesus Christ, that's where you were too, spiritually. Matter of fact, it was worse than that. I do see something here. Let me see what it is. Oh. It's an IOU. From J to God. So not only did I not have anything spiritually, it was worse than that. I was deeply in debt to God. I owe you. But you know what? I read somewhere that Jesus Christ found out that I owed God. I read somewhere that Jesus Christ loved me enough to say, you know what, you got a debt that you can't afford to pay. And I'm going to pay a debt that I don't owe. But I'm going to pay it for you. And when He did that, and when I believed, you know what He did? He tore up that IOU. Oh, you know what? Not only did He tear up the IOU, He credited my account with what? Righteousness. Righteousness, if we believe, our faith. If we believe, He credited my account with righteousness. How much righteousness? Lots of it. Enough to get me to heaven. So not only did He wipe out what I owed, I should do these props more often. He actually stuck something in there. Lots of it. He credited my account with what I didn't deserve, but sufficient, not only to get me to heaven, but sufficient to give me abundant life. Day by day. Wow, that's nice. That was a Franklin. That was a Franklin. 9-0 several of you a couple of weeks ago said you'd do 10. That was a Franklin. Hancock, you up to that today? Huh? You up to that? Oh, look at that. Look at that. Oh, and Rylands, yeah. Yeah. Mr. Lutz, are you up to a... that was a Franklin. That was a Franklin. Oh, look at this. Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Was that a yes, Mr. Lutz? Mr. Kaufman, see, he thinks just because he's way, way back in the balcony. Uh-huh. That was a Franklin, Mr. Kaufman. And all of it, by the way, remember, all of it goes to the Pinewood Derby. All of it goes to the Pinewood Derby. Don't leave when we're all through. You're gonna like the end result here. All right, number seven, the path to God. The path to God. And that's verse 2. That's verse 2. And look what it says there. By whom? So it says, verse 1, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Listen, faith is the only key. It's the only commodity that is compatible to grace. It's the only commodity that will make it sufficient to fit day by day for your operation of living out this Christian life that God has provided for us through Jesus Christ. Write these three things down. The person of grace. The person of grace. It says in verse 2, I think in this series, if I remember right, in the next few weeks, I'm going to be preaching on verses 1 and 2 just as a sermon by themselves. And I'll have a lot more to say about this at that time. But look at this. The person of grace is Jesus Christ. By whom? And then secondly, the provision of grace. We have access. We have access. It's only through who? Jesus. It's only through Jesus Christ. Yeah. That's the provision of grace. And the path of grace is faith. By faith. By whom also we have access by faith. Say those two words with me. By faith. That's it. That's it. That's the path of grace, my friend. It's the only way you get it. God offers it to you. But there's only one thing that's compatible to God's grace. There's only one thing that will unlock the door to God's grace. And that's faith. That's faith. That's what we're talking about. And that's what Abraham illustrates in such a phenomenal, phenomenal way. All right, the promise of God, the persuasion of God, the performance of God, the payment of God, the provision of God, the peace of God, and the path to God. And it's all about faith. 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 You won't get tired of hearing it, and it'll be for the next several weeks, the Lord willing. We'll be talking about this amazing commodity that opens up some phenomenal doors for Christian living. Now, where are you today? Where are you? Have you taken that very first step of faith, that very first step of faith? Has there ever been a time in your life when you've said, Jesus, come into my life to be my Savior? I know you want to be because you went to the cross for me. He was delivered to the cross for our offenses. And I want eternal life. And he was raised again. If God can raise him again, is he capable of raising you again? Yes, yes, yes. And he wants to. He's going to if we believe. If we believe. Is that where you are today? You may say, Jay, I've received God's salvation. Well, are you functioning at a deficit anywhere spiritually? What is it that God needs to move into the midst of your life? Nothing's too hard. Nothing's too hard for him. Where are you spiritually in your journey today? Let me pray with you. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you that you've given to each of us a measure of faith. And I pray now that you would help us to exercise that faith, to hook our faith up to your grace, to put our faith into the keyhole of grace so that the door of grace will open to us. Thank you for extending it to us. Help us to exercise our faith and to walk with you today and in the days ahead. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.